Welcome to Wild and Awake, an online retreat where you deepen your consciousness, arouse your courage, and choose with wisdom. We are exploring the question, how do I live my best life right now? I am your host, Kari Vantine.
Hello, everyone. Welcome so much to be with us today. We have with us Sky Otter, formerly known as Bill Pfeiffer. Welcome, Sky.
Good to be here, Kari.
I am really excited to have Sky with us. We talked back in, was it 2017? And at that time, I had just read your amazing book, Wild Earth, Wild Soul, which anyone looking at it can see it's very dog-eared and tagged. It's one of my beloved books that I read that really helps me figure my way. So it is with great honor that we have you here again, as we're in a different phase, all of us, of our journey. I would like to read a little bit about Sky so that we can all get a little background, and then we'll jump right into our journey together. Sky Otter, formerly known as Bill Pfeiffer, is the founder of Sacred Earth Network, SEN, which has implemented leading edge visions for over 25 years. Maybe longer now, right? 25 years? Yeah.
Maybe longer.
Maybe longer. In that time, Sky made Russia a second home, traveling there 44 times, assisting the environmental and indigenous movements through Sacred Earth Network. This has given him a rare cross-cultural perspective. And I believe that many of those times to Russia were actually working with the shamans there on your trips. Is that correct?
Yeah. That is correct.
Sky has also spent extensive time in the U.S. Southwest learning about Native medicine ways and the crucial importance of the petroglyphs and pictographs. He has also led hundreds of spiritual ecology workshops, including men's work and breath work. He has 25 years of experience in reevaluation counseling and Vipassana meditation, and has undergone extensive training with Siberian shamans. That's exciting right there, I have to say, Sky. Sky has partnered and collaborated with some of the visionary experts that I deeply respect, including Joanna Macy, John Perkins, Lynn Roberts, Kathy Petavillano, and John Seed. And his book, Wild Earth, Wild Soul, A Manual for Our Ecstatic Culture, that I gave a little picture flash of a moment ago, is a powerful exploration integrating and offering much of what he has learned over the years. Welcome today with us, Sky. I'm so excited about where we're going to go. And to let the audience know that one of the beautiful things that both Sky and I did before arriving today is asking guidance for whatever it is that's meant to come in today. And when I speak with somebody like Sky, there are so many different directions and pathways we can go. He is an amazing wealth of knowledge and experiences and teachers who have taught through him. And there's a many, many pathways we could take. And so we are going to, I think of it as play. We're going to jump in the playground together.
Yay.
With our ideas. And we're going to see where we go, because I truthfully feel that at this time in our culture and our society, we're at an edge, and there are things that are ready to happen, and there are things we're not quite ready to happen, but we're getting ready to have happen. And someone like Sky is walking that edge, looking, listening, being curious, and you've been there for a long time. So Sky, I'm going to start us off with this book, Wild Earth, Wild Soul. It was inspired to you starting from a journey quest that you went on quite a number of years ago. Could you speak a little bit, just give us a little bit into the experience of coming out of this journey quest and how this book was birthed?
There was a lot to that vision quest journey back in 1998 in Canyonlands outside of Moab, Utah. So there's a lot to say about it. But in terms of the book, after being out in the desert fasting for 4 days with nothing, nothing spectacular, no kind of, voice.
Downloads.
Yeah, giant downloads and, you know, spirit beings coming through, just crazy stuff that has actually happened for people. Crazy good stuff. I just left the with my buddy Jeffrey. We just walked out. It was a 7-mile hike. We went to this motel room called the Prospector Lodge, and boy, just 2 hours later, I've never had a dream like that before. After which, the dream was, it just absolutely mythic in that the thought was sort of like being in one of those sense around 3D movies, and it just mind. In this case, unlike out in the desert, in this hotel room, in a dream, I'm getting some very strong instructions about what, in a sense, because I went out on the vision quest for this purpose, which was with the question, what's next? And there were three parts to it. And the very first part, which we'll touch into, was remembering the old ancient earth ways and sharing them to the best of my ability. Number two was to help create a cultural and spiritual and shamanic exchange between Native Siberians and Native Americans, something that is on video, very tangible, something that I'm very proud of, and the various ways in which it's kind of seeded itself over the years. And then the third thing was to put down what was coming through me and continues to come through me about the essence of what it means for each and every one of us as being five-fingered earth surface dwellers. What does, and truthfully, the word that I like the most is aboriginal. There's something about that. And I'm not sure if I mentioned in the book, I might have used the word indigenous, but this common humanity that we have has almost a cultural methodology where there's certain things that just run through, whether you're white, red, yellow, black, or green, it's there. And I get so excited about what I see is our remembering our common humanity. And so I would like to think, Kari, that the book is practicing our common humanity in a way that is off the beaten track of our dominant cultural and social ways of interacting with one another.
Thank you, Sky, I pulled out one of the quotes you have in your book is by Thomas Berry, the ecologist and philosopher. And do you mind if I just pop that in at this moment?
Go for it.
It gives me chills. So one of the significant historical roles of the primal people of the world is not simply to sustain their own traditions, but to call the entire civilized world back to the more authentic mode of being. Our only hope is in a renewal of those primordial experiences out of which the shaping of our more sublime human qualities could take place. It's a mouthful, an earful, and a headful, but I feel like that in so many ways is some of the core seed of what you're passing through in your book. Is how, or a way how, not the only way, there are probably many ways how, of bringing the primordial experiences back into our experience.
Yeah, I mean, we're we're emphasizing it's the central theme that there was a lot of beautiful spiritual, ecological, classic piecework that came up to that came up, and the seeds of what we're talking about on that vision up to that vision quest in 1998. But then for me, there was just this crystallization of sort of seeing that, I can't think of his name right now, but he's a Mohawk elder. And I remember meeting him briefly out in New York State. And he said something like, he just looked at me with this kind of fierce expression. And he said something like, there's no difference between my people and your people, except our people have an unbroken lineage of these traditions. I mean, he said they've been, you know, battered and put upon by the dominant culture, but there has been that continuity. And so the great gift of protecting and protecting to the best of the dominant society's ability to protect indigenous culture, society, land, and language is to, it's so beautiful, and I'm going to get back a little bit back to that quote, is that we're protecting ourselves, Kari. It's like this is our, as one human race, our brothers and sisters who are currently incarnated as mostly native to their land. I just feel so unwavering in that, like protecting them is like protecting the most valuable treasure that we have on the earth that we can all then learn. And one other thing, which is it's not like I'm saying that Native peoples are somehow perfect or idyllic, or they don't make mistakes, or that this is something inhuman or even utopian. It's more of they've got a handle on our original instructions. And what Thomas Berry is talking about is not kind of original instructions like a kind of mental formulation, but a way of being and perceiving the universe. And that's the most vital aspect of what, of that, I think he starts off by saying something about the sublime. How does it go? It's just such a rich quote.
Well, I'm quoting from your book, so it starts where it starts with one of the significant historical roles for primal people of the world is not simply to sustain their own traditions, but to call the entire civilized world back to a more authentic mode of being.
Yeah. More authentic mode of being. Yes. I don't know where I heard the word sublime, but.
Good word. And he very likely said that too. Thomas Berry's work is incredible in terms of being somebody who's exploring, and I want to speak to that, there are quite a number of people who are like, we're touching the elephant from different sides. We're trying to name and find something, right? So Thomas Berry is in one place, and for those who know who he is or don't, look him up. He's amazing. Incredible body of work.
I can't resist, so I'm just gonna pop it up.
Thank you. The Dream of the Earth. I actually grew up, my parents were really fascinated by him, studied with him, traveled a couple times to meet with him. So it was part of my childhood. And so I would say Thomas Berry is just a visionary for many of us. And then we're touching the elephant from different sides. So here you are, Sky, you're taking what I want to say a very felt sensed experience in your traveling to the Soviet Union, to Russia, to the Southwest, that these journeys to actually learn directly.
Yeah.
Right, to learn directly. And go, no, please.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think it's very important for viewers to know that I'm non-native. My mom is Jewish. My father is German Catholic. The longer I'm alive and the more I look into the deep archetypal intelligence of both the Jewish people and the German people, I don't have any need to be anything more than have that ancestry. And as I've said multiple times, if we go back far enough in our ancestry, we find earth-honoring traditions. So I, as we discussed a little earlier, I'm just so jazzed and psyched to be hopefully a humble, sometimes fly on the wall listener, where I get to be with the elders, whether they're Siberian or Mayan. And, you know, I there's a beautiful Mayan elder. I don't know if he's still around, Don Alejandro, and North American Native elders, and just really listen to how they retell the stories. And you know, you mentioned the petroglyphs in my bio and how they interpret the petroglyphs. And then what happens is I get so like, you got to hear this stuff. It's so amazing. Like, you got to know about this, that then I want to talk about it like I'm doing now. But then, even more importantly, I want to facilitate group experiences where this isn't a head trip. It's where we get it and we're like, oh, this is what that guy was, you know, what he's yapping about, or I was referring to me, but also Thomas Berry in that paragraph.
And Sky, that takes us right directly to this wild earth, wild soul, a manual for an ecstatic culture, is really, or at least my experience in it, is really a handbook for experimenting on how we as people can come together with other people and be living on this earth in a way that actually has, let's say, like, possibility of, and how would you fill that in?
Well, I think,
take it. Where would you go with that?
That's great. I love that open question. And I'm just going to say it and then see what your follow-up question is. To fall in love with the earth, with nature, and one another, there is no more sublime experience. There's no more beautiful experience in terms of groups of people that I know of, I'll just keep it simple. To fall in love with the earth and each other is an incredible group experience.
And when we're using the words fall in love with,
yeah,
I have a sense that what happens when we're in nature and in a group is different than our mainstream use of the words falling in love with. So would you be willing to just unpack that just a little bit more? And, you know, we can riff on it. And I bet everyone listening is saying, yeah, I know what you mean. But there is something different that happens, right?
Yes. I mean, it seems useful to say that my mind is working in several different ways here.
I know, I threw you something you weren't expecting.
No, it's a good one, and I'm want to sort of try to unpack what my pause is and where the thread is going. I think, first of all, I'll just be very simple and say that In these dozens and dozens and dozens of various kinds of group experience of earth honoring culture, there is a it's a platonic love that people feel very I just love this person for their unique gifts and ways of seeing the world. And we're experience that sense of the beautiful uniqueness of each other within the context of having a newfound love and perspective on the natural world. And what I think, as I'm saying this to you, is that number one, it just becomes like, again, like, oh yeah, this is who we are. This is like our natural way of being. It's not to say we don't suffer, it's not that we don't have pain or trauma or difficulty. You know, certainly very little of that in a Wild Earth Intensive per se, but I mean that remembering of what it's like together. That love experience is also mixed in very much with compassion, in that we recognize also that, man, we've been slammed personally, it's hurt bad, and the earth is being slammed as we speak. And so it's almost a little bit like our hearts break open in this recognition of this. The word that comes to mind is like a holy crucible, that we're in this together, this small group, as being kind of a microcosm a microcosm of ancestral memory, which is what's coming to me right now, and common humanity.
Yeah. Yeah. And in that, my guess is that within that frame of a small, you have like a dozen to 25 people, something like right. that, if I remember exactly. right. There's a sense of playing out what's happening on a bigger scale, but playing out on a small enough scale that a different set of discoveries can take place. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, what made me pause was that there's a beautiful and understandable rediscovery simultaneously on planet Earth of what does erotic mean, and what is a erotic exploration of the universe, so that mm-hmm. I see the nature as being extremely sensual and extremely erotic, but it's not that focus that seems to, that draws our curiosity in these kinds of gatherings. It's a little bit like, if you know, I have no idea what anybody does in their private life, you know, in a Wild Earth Intensive, but it's sort of like, that's not what this, you know, that's not what the focus is. I have great respect for people who are exploring that edge, but I just find that isn't, it's like, we got enough on our plate without also going there.
And I'm curious, in your Wild Earth Intensives, because they are actually, I'm just going to give a little background if I can.
Go ahead.
You were put up by a challenge by a friend of yours. I just love the background of this, right? Your friend, who's also professor of ecology, Larry Boole, gave you a challenge. If you're given 10 days minimum to allow for a more temporary workshop feel in a beautiful outdoor setting with 15 to 25 people gathered together, how would you reconstruct a culture that works for all beings? So just to give this context, this was a challenge that was given to you by a friend, and actually in many ways was what birthed this body of work. Is that true?
Yes, and he gave me that challenge before the vision quest. So it was
That gives the whole context.
It was just percolating.
Yeah, yeah. And so I'm just going to pause for the listeners. What I want you to hear here, because some of you have worked with me for a long time, and some of you know we've got people from all over who are hearing this. What I want you to hear is, in part, although Sky is an amazing human being, he is just a human being. And I am a human being. We are not just, we are human beings. And he is exploring, he was given these questions, he's exploring, he's following these threads. And out of them have come these incredible social, personal discoveries. Why I wanted to just put a pause on that is that, like, all of us can do this. All of us are doing this, right? Part of what I see you stand for, Sky, is like we get to explore these things. And you're creating a container in which for people to explore. But what I love hearing is your friend gave you a challenge. You went on a journey. You had a dream. You listened to the dream. You thrashed around with it. You came up with some, you know, beautiful information. And then you put it into practice in which you're experimenting with it in the world. And not to make your life sound terribly simple, because that sounds a little simple, but it's like, that's an amazing roadmap for taking like idea and vision and spooling it out into a way that it shows up in the world, that you're now in this playground.
Well, thank you for that. It's a beautiful appreciation, and I put myself in the place of a listener. And I think one of the really important things that I want to impart is that everybody's got some kind of blueprint, and that blueprint might be, you know, I'm just supposed to hang out and get to know the bark of a willow tree. And I really mean that in all sincerity. Like if spirit gives you a job, it's up to you to do it or not. And so I guess what I'm saying is that I have listened to spirit guide me in the way of answering that question that Larry Buell asked me. But I think I want everybody to know how beautiful, unique, powerful, and creative they are. And that it's the only thing to do for maximal, you know, whatever joy in life is to follow your muse and to just see where it takes you and not get hung up on what anybody else is doing.
Thank you. That's beautiful, Sky. And I think that statement is powerful, and sitting alongside seeing somebody actually put it into practice, right? So we get to look at our own lives and say, how am I doing? What's mine to do? What's mine to do? Yeah. You've mentioned a couple times the word like spirit guiding you. And I know spirit means a lot of things to different people. And you've studied with shamans and the native peoples and all around the world. That term may be used differently. And as somebody comes from a Jewish German background, that term is used differently. How are you holding it?
Yeah, that's really a great question, because
I'm not asking you to challenge you either. I'm putting out.
Oh, no, no, no. I don't feel it that way at all.
Right. We get to learn, like, what's that mean? Spirit's guiding me. And who or what is that?
There was a thread back there that I wanted to make sure that it got sort of just unraveled slightly more, which is just that this is the connecting segue, which is that what is discovering what is ours to do and doing it means listening to our spiritual guidance first and foremost. What do I mean by spiritual guidance? I mean that we have a thinking mind, a conceptual mind, but it is subservient, in my view, to the greater intelligence, that if we spend time in nature, spend time meditating, I mean, even just spending time loving, we get the feeling that there's something much bigger going on here than just our kind of wishes, desires, and our own, like, I don't mean to diss wishes and desires. Those are great. It's just that it's almost like there's this sort of small, separate self that we've kind of grown up into believing is the true us. And I think part of the human journey is just kind of opening up to this, you know, I'm getting more and more comfortable with just saying this greater love, because that's how I actually experience it. And I guess I want people to feel like once they get in touch with that love in their heart, that's the primary guidance. And, you know, if you want, I can mention a little bit about the kind of spirit guides and allies, but it's all about the love. And that's the guiding force. And so we have these two, it's almost cliche, but it's so true. We have these two forces in our lives that we're like, I gotta stay protected, and I'm afraid. It's so fear on one hand, and I'm just gonna trust in this greater divine energy that's pulsing through the universe that I get to feel right here.
Yeah, and putting what I'm hearing too, Sky, and I would say from my own experiences, putting ourselves in situations in which that connection to guidance or spirit or love is more available or has less barriers. And one of the places for that for me is going out in nature, is that if I'm in nature and I can actually drop away the things that I carry, the humanness and the story and the barriers of this container, this human container, and expand into my experience. I would call it love also, but I know it's like the feeling is love of being in nature. And actually my experience is feeling deep, deep connection. It's like an expansiveness and connection. And I'm not sure if that's what others feel as well, but in that space, right? And you're also, our other options at work is, you know, meditation has been an incredible doorway for that for me, and deep conversations with others where you unpack the human shell. So there's a lot of doorways there that are not necessarily the old-fashioned praying on your knees connection to spirit. So I just wanted to like say, like, when we're talking about spirit, where there is, it's about opening up and allowing connection.
Absolutely.
Allowing love. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's become so self-evident to me that every part of nature is a teacher, and that we can listen to the different songs of nature. And, you know, I like to use the drum and the rattle, and I use a jew's harp or a jaw harp as well. And being around the fire, and there's so many different, you know, and are just taking a deep breath and noticing that breath. Like, these are different ways of accessing this deeper intelligence. I just, so people know exactly how I think of it as a continual wellspring of loving intelligence that is permeating everything and everyone. And it's just, the goal is to just very gently get out of the way. It, like, you know, we talked in our sort of preparatory discussion, we talked about that masculine culture, the conditioned conditioned masculine way of getting things done and the feminine receptive way of getting things done, the like an attraction-based universe, so that I'm learning through my thick head that I'm good at getting shit done, but it's very exhausting sometimes. And that by sinking into that infinite loving intelligence that permeates everything, by just really saying, resting in it, pausing and resting in it, that if I ask a question beforehand or I want to create something, that spirit shows me the way, and it's so much easier that way. And it's not that I don't take action steps, it's that those action steps are natural and guided, instead of me kind of taking the bull by the horns and pushing ahead, which is something I'm good at, but it's exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah. And in our world, in the state that it's in right now, where those of us who are environmentally concerned and planetarily concerned can see this and say, oh my gosh, like we've got to take action, which I do believe that actually does need to happen.
Yeah.
And there's also, I think this is a place where you and I have a lot of crossovers, that there's also a place where we need to make consciousness shift. And that's part of what you're talking about here, is it's about changing our way of thinking. And then out of that, perhaps our actions will also change. Do you think of that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you said that, and you said the phrase consciousness shift, what happened for me is I momentarily got out of the how I would say almost like magnificent thought stream that we're both on. And I just took a pause and I felt my body and my breath. And I invite anybody who's watching this to just.
Thank you. Yes.
That here we are. Here we are. This is where the power is. So it's not some future thing that we're pushing towards. We're accessing and embodying this greater intelligence. Truly simply by taking a full conscious inhale and exhale.
Yes.
Together, you and me and whoever watches this.
Yeah. Let's all just pause for a moment here. Yeah. And as you're taking this big breath in and out, noticing we're on a video, and we can just let those that fall away too.
Beautiful. I'm glad you're game.
Oh, absolutely. This is my life too, right here in this moment. Yeah. Sky, there's so many places we wanted to go today. And I would say that there is a piece that I want to touch on, just to hold space for a little, which is you have spent time with many different elders. And I believe there's probably, you know, you can't speak for, you're not of the Native tradition, but I would say you get to speak as somebody who's gathered information and bringing it back. So the question is actually a twofold, threefold, fourfold, who knows where it will go, but is there anything that you feel that we should know that you can share with us that would be important in terms of, I'll start there, important for us to know right now?
I think the thing that just popped into my my head is the two words respect and listening. And I mention them because there's actually Native peoples all over the place and Native elders all over the place. And I think that there's some sort of, there has been some sort of disconnect there, some fear possibly on both, or yes, probably on both sides from native and non-natives. And I would say, speaking as a non-native, that respect and listening and being curious, and this is the sentence that I most want to emphasize, getting to know the landscape where you live, really get to know it. And with that mode of inquiry, like, I really want to know where I am, not just blow through it in a vehicle or on a plane. I want to know where I am. That process is completely inextricably linked with Native elders that are around waiting for that kind of respect and listening to come in their direction.
Yeah, thank you. And Sky, in that I hear too this sort of hovering as an under question, which is, as you know, as a Caucasian woman who's like, there are things I do. I burn sage. I light candles. I have, you know, fire ritual. There are things where I have taken tools or actions or rituals that hold power, and languaging and ideas. And how do you hold that place? What do you do with, how do we assimilate knowledge from Native or First Nation people and use it in a way that is respectful and honoring, and not just like there's a concern about assimilation or a concern about taking something and not actually knowing what it is as we use it in our sort of woo-woo assimilating, everyone wants to use shamanic practices kind of ways. How do we do that with honor? Or what, yeah, I guess I'm just going to pass it to you. Like, what do we do with that while we're also wanting to expand and acknowledge that the information coming through those tools is really useful?
It's really, really important to name sources if you are conveying what you consider to be Indigenous wisdom, that you do your best to say how you heard it. Even if you said you heard it secondhand, that the idea is that there's really respect for this wisdom tradition that has come out of the earth for thousands of years. So respect, listening, humility, and Kari, intention is everything. Everybody knows that if you're coming from a place where you're not trying to monetize this stuff, you're not trying to get everybody to think how great you are, that if you're just here because you really care about the earth, that you care about a good way ahead for human beings, we're going to make mistakes. Like, we're humans. We're going to make mistakes. And I don't ever want to feel like I or anybody else needs to like walk around on eggshells, you know, that they might have to, you know, that they might say the wrong thing. It's like, nobody owns the directions. Nobody owns the four elements. And if we keep in mind, you know, it all flows blood red through our hearts, and we have this common humanity, and we're just doing the very best we can, it's all going to work out just fine. Like, I think I feel pretty strongly that if you come at any of this with a good heart, there's nothing to worry about. And, you know, as I think you mentioned, somebody apologized to you 2 years later who came down on you strong. we're going to take some hits. Like, so what, you know, like it happens.
Yeah. And what Skye's referring to is being very careful about the languaging that we use or the tools that we're assimilating, right? And part of what I love in your offering, Skye, and how you've traveled and listening and learning, doing your practices in Vermont, you've got this amazing, I want to call it a school, but a place where people come and they learn to do journeying. They learn how to go on vision quests, multiple layers of things, as well as this deep nature in a group of people. And I've had such respect for you over the years, taking the tools and actually putting them to practice with people in a way that I'm guessing they then become owned by us, owned by those who are practicing. And that to me is one of the ways that I believe that we're able to have a shifting and changing and healing on this planet, is actually by coming to this place of really loving, we'll use the term love again, right? Loving or being in full presence with our aliveness right now. And one of the doorways to that is through practices which have ancient history of opening the door to connection.
Yeah, you just said it beautifully. I couldn't say it better than that. And when I said I want people to really get, like I said something like, get to know your landscape. So this place here in Vermont is within a larger landscape, and I'm really inviting people to use this place as a sanctuary, a launching pad or a portal, where exactly what you said, that they can feel that they belong, that it's a safe place, and that, you know, they belong to nature, they belong to one another. And, you know, this is a very organic thing. This isn't a formal school. It's just, I feel like one of my latest, in the last couple of years, messages from spirit is, you know, you need to do less running around the world and just get super grounded where you live, and create intentional neighbor community. Like, in other words, not trying to force fit, you know, 20 people to live together indefinitely and get all the economics together, but just really kind of be loose and easy about it, and just enjoy each other's company for a few hours, for a few days or whatever, just to relax into earth honoring culture as I've come to understand it on this land. So I really appreciate what you said, because that is actually the latest incarnation of what I do here, and it's so gorgeous. And, you know, anybody who wants to come here, you know, they'll get my gift and our gifts, and they can get on my email list, and we'll get in touch with each other. They're welcome here.
Mm-hmm. And that said, I would say your best way to find you is billpfeiffer.org, correct? And we'll spell that B-I-L-L, Pfeiffer, P-F-E-I-F-F-E-R.org. And there is also going to be a link at the bottom of this video. And Skye is offering a couple things that I'm really excited about. And he's offering a little bit more because I got excited about a lot. But the last part of your last chapter of the book, Wild Earth, Wild Soul, is just absolutely gorgeous. And I think it has more sort of the action, how to take things into action. Mm. And I think that's really useful. It's about vision and action, correct?
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's I think what you said earlier is true. It's like we ground in presence in the earth. We ask for what we're supposed to be doing next. And so I've mentioned a whole bunch of things that people can do, but I want them to do what is theirs to do, not what is mine for them to do, unless they want to, of course. But I'm very inspired by that last chapter. I reread it. I wanted it to be a gift for people, because it's a real synopsis of what came before.
Yeah, thank you. I think that's useful. And I want to speak to, I think sometimes it's really helpful to have a list or examples as we're learning to listen to ourselves. It gives us a sense, because the container perception of what we have available is only as far as what we've seen as possible, whether through ourselves or through the example of someone else, which is part of why I do these interviews, because I want people to have exposure to people who are thinking outside of the box or experiencing outside of the box, because you, Sky, and others give a bigger container for us to rest into. And as soon as we've got a bigger stretch ourselves, we then can come up with, you know, we can add to your amazing list and be inspired by what you've done. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. One of the things that I always loved about Joanna Macy's workshops is she always had a big poster paper or multiple poster papers where we would mark out goals and resources, like all the things that were the incredible things that are happening in the world and things I might take action on or things I might explore. And I think this is something that is worth paying attention to right now, is the very act of paying attention itself and of our focus. And I appreciate that you've decided this whole arena and the title of what these talks and presentations are about. It's about focus. And I think as people focus more and more in this direction, it's like what you focus on grows and you start to see, oh my God, there's just so much really good stuff happening. And that's a really good antidote for the knowledge of all the awful stuff that's going on, but not letting that awful stuff drag you under by focusing on everything that you're about and what, you know, what your work is about, what my work is about, and all the people that we gravitate to and resonate with. To me, it's absolutely a recipe for success.
Absolutely. And Sky is also gifting us with a meditation. So it's a meditation outdoors. And so this is, I think, really beautiful. The book stimulates our, you know, our mind, our consciousness growth. And I'm a real advocate for actually using our entire being. So then going into nature and sitting in nature and being outside and having a practice. And those of you who followed my interviews before, we talked with John Young a couple years ago. And so, you know, the sitting outside practice, I want you to see what it looks like and as gifted through Sky's work. So practice, and I'm just inviting you all play in this territory. And the last, just wrapping up, Sky, you mentioned, and for those of you who want to explore working further with Sky, there's, if I get this correct, you've got a vision quest going on in early September. So great way to play around with, if that is a direction that you'd like to play. This is an amazing way, in my experience, to expand our listening skills, our listening to spirit, and also be offered in a greater way than we can possibly conceive, ways to move forward and expand in our experience here. Is there anything you'd like to add to that?
Just that the vision quest is as powerful of a ancient earth practice that I know of, and that it's universal. It has happened all over the earth, and you know, it certainly takes a degree of goodwill, of positive will, encourage. But I don't really know of anything that gets you clearer than a vision quest. I guess everybody is predisposed differently, but for my money, with all the things that I do, including psychedelics, I think the vision quest is the sort of penultimate, if you will, of moving forward quickly by doing what we've been talking about from time to time, of just accessing spirit as a living reality.
Beautiful. Sky, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. For all of our listeners who are here on Wild and Awake, this conversation today really has been a gift from Sky, a gift from spirit, from the nature beings, from all that has supported us in finding our way, and offering you all who are here different ways to think, different ways to unpack. You may have been stretched by this conversation. I hope so. I hope this is stretched, that you followed our journey, that you're actually, your mind and your body and your being are saying, wow, I'm really curious about living a little bit different, a little bigger, a little bit richer, a little bit more connected. So thank you all for being here. And thank you so much, Sky.
Thank you so much, Kari. It's been a pleasure.